خذوا عني مناسككم. When he dispatched Mu'adh ibn Jabal, these were real people. They lived the real world. When he dispatched Mu'adh to Yemen, he said, Mu'adh, all the best. When you come back, visit my grave and my masjid, you'll find me not. لعلك تمر بمسجدي وبقبري. Mu'adh, you will find my grave, you will find my masjid, pay your respects and visit me. Mu'adh teared like a baby. The Nabi of Allah embraced him. He said, you might be based at a distant location, but if you obey Allah and follow me, we are together. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي الْمُتَّقُونَ حَيْثُ كَانُوا وَأَيْنَ كَانُوا. Long story short, he says, my dad passed away. And he had made this bequest that one third of the wealth must go to my children. That is his grandchildren. وَلَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ تِسْعَةُ بَنِينَ وَتِسْعُ بَنَاتٍ. My dad left behind 19 children, 18 children, 9 sons, 9 daughters, and 4 wives. And he said to me his last words, إِنْ عَجَزْتَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِنْ عَلَيْهِ بِمَوْلَايَ. That is just the climax of this narration. Listen, my son, I've impressed upon you, I've exchanged, I've told you a lot of things. Time is running short. If you have any issues, feel free to openly speak to my master at any time. What were his words? If you have any reservations, apprehensions, ambiguity, uncertainty, feel free to communicate with my master. He said, my dad rattled it off so swiftly, I'm still trying to take it in bits and pieces. Wallahi ma daraytu ma arad hatta qultu ya abati wa man mawlak. My dad, you're saying your master, you want to be explicit, you want to spell it out? So he said, my Allah, who else? I said, okay, sorry, apologies. I just lost my pattern of thoughts for a moment. And my mind was just wandering and I'm thinking, who are you talking? Not in the care of the legal team or the litigation process or this member or that member. You deal with it and you have any issues. Imagine you die with such a bond with your Creator. You die with such a relation with your Allah that you hand your children. That great scholar said, a believer dies handing his family to Allah, while a hypocrite dies handing his family over to his assets. A believer dies, I've left them in the care of Allah. And a hypocrite dies, I've left behind adequate for them. I have empowered them sufficiently. Wallahi, whenever I had any issues, I used to say, Ya Mawla Zubair, iqdi anhu daynahu. Oh, the Lord of Zubair, deal with the liabilities of my dad. And instantly things would fit into puzzle, and Allah would make the means, and I would attend to everything. Wallahi, ma taraka dirhaman wala dinar. My dad left behind nothing in cash, but he left behind certain properties and assets. Ihda asharata daran bil Madina, darain bil Basra. Daran bi Kufa, daran bi Misr. My dad left behind, this is the beauty of Islam. Islam is not averse to having things in this world. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not omit your worldly existence. That's how practical, that's how pragmatic our faith is. That is how relevant and how applicable it is. We have to live. وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. Those who adopted monasticism and they isolated themselves by building a monastery. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We never ordained it. And they could never sustain it because it's not in harmony with human temperament. So we never imposed upon anyone to isolate and divorce yourself from the world. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They innovated it. Islam never said that. If there's anything with isolation, it's i'tikaf. But even in i'tikaf, it is a matter of reflection between you and your Creator, not isolation from this world. My dad left behind 11 houses. إِحْدَى عَشَرَةَ دَارًا بِالْمَدِينَةِ in Medina. دَارَيْنِ بِالْبَصْرَةِ, 2 houses in Basra. دَارًا بِكُوفَ, 1 house in Kufa. So these were all the assets. And then my father left behind this prime plot of Ghaba. Ghaba was just a prime plot that my father had as an asset. Now you might wonder, where did this wealth come from? He said, number one, I then did the calculations and I realized my dad's debts were standing at 2,200,000 dirhams. 2,200,000. فَحَسَبْتُ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ فَوَجَدْتُهُ أَلْفَيْ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَةَ أَلْفٍ. So I looked at the audits, I looked at the books, I looked at the records. I said, okay, we got 2,200,000. Can you imagine the broadness of the shoulder of this boy? His dad is digesting and offloading in 5 minutes and he can sigh with relief. My father passes away, we attend to the burial, I see to everything, procedures take place. I look at the liabilities, I say, okay, we need to sort out this. Then he goes on to say in the narration, why did my father sit with this debt? What was the motivating, what resulted in this debt? Because that's a separate issue again today, that we just keep on incurring debts. There is that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that makes my hair stand, and I've quoted it locally and abroad in many of my talks, and I share it and exploit the moment and seize it again and say it with you. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I foresee a bleak era where a man will lose his faith because of his spouse and children. O Nabi of Allah, but how is this going to happen? The narration of Tabrani. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ I often say to people, if you want to call someone to Islam today, one of the easiest ways is, open the books of hadith and show him the prophecies and the predictions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see how it is spelled out openly in world. 1400 years ago, this is what the man says, and look at what's happening. How could he arrive at this other than being inspired through divine revelation? The Nabi of Allah said his wife and children will taunt him on his financial standing. You're not providing, it's not adequate, we need to upgrade, we need to move forward, we need to innovate, we need to go up the ladder, climb it. This will come to a blow, make or break, do or die. It will be either you remain in the marriage and deliver, or you walk out and the union is dissolved. The Nabi of Allah said the pressure will reach such a level to sustain the relation, he will resort to haram avenues to bring in that added money to appease his wife and children, and faith will depart him in its entirety. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. That is why there's this amazing narration. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, protect me from debts and disbelief. Now, the scholars of tafsir, may Allah preserve them and reward them, they deduce everything between the link. If the Prophet of Allah is asking protection from kufr and debts, what's the correlation between the two? It's apples with bananas by my eyes. Kufr, disbelievers, debts, wealth, monetary. I don't see the tie between the two. They say there's a definite tie. When you have overwhelming debts, then you resort to the actions of kuffar to generate money to offset those liabilities. So that overwhelming debts creates a niche, and it takes you, no, Sheikh, you know, we have to gamble now and then, what can you do? You got to go with interest now and then, what can you do? You got to work through the backdoor system now and then, you know, it's not a long term, but what can you do? That what can you do? The faith leaves him totally, and we are the living statistics. May Allah protect us and guide us and give us wholesome barakah. May Allah give us meaning, may Allah give us family time where there's muhabbah and understanding. Anyway, I calculated it, I seen it was 2,200,000. Now look at the fabric of the society. He said, my dad had incurred this debt, not because he borrowed the money, but people used to come and say, listen, Zubair, I've got some money, you'll keep it for me? So my dad, out of his goodwill, would say, I'm not going to keep it as a amana and a trust, because the juristic ruling is, if you put a trust in my care, and without negligence on my part, that wealth is stolen or it's burnt, I'm not liable. So my dad would take it a step further and say, don't leave it as a trust, let me take it as a loan so your money is secured. Your money, this is Islamic banking. This is Islamic definition of wealth, beyond your comprehension. So how does Islam believe I borrow you money, but then that money is not making money for me? Okay, well that money is bringing happiness in my home. That money is bringing barakat in my life. That money is protecting my children on the road. That money is making my child a hafiz. Why? Because I gave you money. I'm not exploiting and milking your desperation. But that's a different definition. Today I just met 2 days ago a brother from UK, someone introduced me to him. He says in the conventional banking system, so someone presented to him the writings of Islamic banking by Mufti Taqi. The man was blown away. Academically, he said, on theory and academics, this is something else altogether. If only we present it. The man took the shahada reading the Islamic principles of business and banking. That is how my father incurred. Then he would keep the money and then he would discharge it and dispense it and give it to people, and it became a debt. Long story short, Hakim ibn Hizam comes to meet me and he says, listen, I'm sorry your dad passed away. What are we looking at the figures? So he said, I downplayed it. Now look at how beautiful that was. If I know somebody was to help me, I say, hey, hello, biju bihine ke ileje. Tell him all those other costs and liabilities we got. If it was 100, I'll make it 1,000,000. If it was 200, I'll make it 500,000. Because I can see the man is trying to be good. So he came, he said, what's the figures of your dad's liabilities? I said, we're looking about, give or take, 100,000. He said, 100,000, ma ara amwalakum tasa'u hadhihi. I doubt you've got the muscle to offset 100. I said, yeah, but inshallah, we'll manage it. So Abdullah the son said, I then took it a step further. I said, you saying we don't have the muscle to offset 100,000. If I had to tell you my dad is owing 2,200,000, what would you say? I'll say, well, then you're in a real crisis, in a big hole. But he said, listen, I'm not trying to get into your affairs. All I'm saying is, in عَجَزْتُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ فَاسْتَعِينُوا بِي. If you have any issues, come to me, I will settle it, and it's a gift from me. There was a society, my brothers, this is unheard of. We are sitting high and dry with this. I said, no, Jazakallah, I want to pay you. You know, we don't need anything. And I told him, if there's anything, I'll give you a shout. Anyway, Abdullah ibn Zubair said, I made an announcement. I said, Man kana lahu ala Zubairi shay'un falyuwafina bil ghaba. If anybody has a claim, just bear me out with 5 minutes and I'll wrap up, inshallah. If anybody has a claim on my father, meet me at Ghaba. He's got this prime land. We'll talk there and we'll settle you. My father had purchased this land for 170,000 dirham. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. My pain, my gripe, and it hurts me and kills me. We update ourselves with the latest bulletin. We update ourselves with every ball and every score. But we remain abreast with everything by the minute. How many a youth will buy the latest phone knowing very well that the price will drop in 3 weeks, but just the pride to say, I'm the first one to flash it. But we're not even the first nor the last one to understand the verses of the Quran. And we don't suffer a sense of guilt that, hey, I don't even know this. I never heard this in Bukhari. My word, really, I was reading so much on monetary and figures and this and the rest of it. Anybody has a claim, come meet us as Ghaba. So Abdullah ibn Ja'far comes there. He says, listen, here are the accounts. Your late father owed me 400,000 dirhams. But I promise you, I've only come to tell you this so that you know the reality. I'm ready to clear it up and wipe it out. I don't need a cent from it. 400,000 dirhams your father owed me. And in shi'tum taraktuha lakum, please count it off. I don't need it. I just want to clear it up. You know your dad is over. We've cleared it up. He says, no. My father's given me a treasure to take from. It never depleted. It's never depleted. So I want to pay you. Look at the either side here. Here I'm impressing on the creditor, forgive. And the creditor is impressing on the debtor, pay. It's just the scenario has been reversed. The beggar comes to my door. I say, brother, don't you know you mustn't beg? And he's like, don't you know you mustn't refuse a beggar? That's the whole thing. The day my mother-in-law treats me like a daughter, and the day my daughter-in-law treats me like a mother, who's going to take the bold step? Who's going to be the greater initiative? Who's going to be one greater than the other and rise beyond the bickerings of society and be one better than the other and create a new standard and a new model in society? No, I want to pay you. Gives him his 400,000 dirhams. He then comes to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Ibn Zam'a is there. Then Uthman ibn Munzir is there. And a third Sahabi is there. Each one of them buy a portion of it. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was also present. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, give me one portion out of this whole thing. Which turned out to be, I'm just expediting it here because time is against me. It was 150,000 dirhams. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu then purchases it. Now he purchases one portion, 1 acre or whatever it was by the definitions. And then he asks Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he says, Abdullah ibn Zubair, this other land, who does it belong to? He says, no, I've given it to Abdullah ibn Zubair. My dad was owing him 400,000 dirhams. So to offset my dad's liability, we've balanced it out with a portion of land. He said, call Abdullah ibn Ja'far and tell him, because I bought this land, I'm interested to buy it. You gave him 400, tell him I'll give him 600,000. The man was ready to excuse the amount. The man was ready to clear it out. He done a deal now, and 10 minutes later, Allah gives him that same land with a 200,000 return. You say, but Maulana, those barakat don't come to me. How can it ever come to me? Why will it ever come to me? I don't have that openness of chest and bosom to give and spend. When he wraps up everything, his children come to him. He says, our grandfather said, you owe us 1/3 of the estate. He said, my children, here's your money. But I'm going to announce in 4 years of Hajj in succession that nobody has any claim on your grandfather, on my father. When I'm satisfied, because you only honor a person's bequest in 1/3 if there aren't debts to swallow that assets. So if there are debts, then there is no bequeathing, there is no bequest. For 4 years he announced. After 4 years, nobody made a claim. He called his children. He said, I'm sorry to hold back your dada's money. Here's your money and I'm happy to give it to you. What was his estate? His wives came home, 4 wives. Each one came home with 1,200,000 dirhams. And what is the share of a wife? The Quran says in the 4th juz, وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِلَّمْ يَكُلَّكُمْ وَلَدْ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدْ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ. The four wives collectively share one-eighth. So the one-eighth, the one portion of that one-eighth for each one was 1 million. His assets were sitting on the hadith of Bukhari. فَكَانَ جَمِيعُ مَالِهِ خَمْسُونَ أَلْفَ أَلْفٍ وَمِئَةَ أَلْفٍ. He died with 50,200,000 dirhams. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us happiness in our lives, to give us barakah in our lives, and to bless us with contentment. Al-abdu hurrun ma tama'a, wal-hurru abdun ma qana'a. A slave is a king as long as he's content, and a king is a slave as long as he has greed.